You are listening to PodFi, the crypto podcast, brought to you from BSC News, bringing you the latest crypto, blockchain, and Web3 news. Here's your host, Tom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to PodFi. Thank you very much for tuning in. First of all, I would just like to thank each and every one of you. Our listening numbers, or our listener numbers, apologies, have been doing really, really well. At the moment, I think we're on around between 700 to 1,000 individual listeners each week, which is really great to see. And if I could ask a favour from you, so I'm talking to you right now, this would be really, really appreciated. If you can, whatever platform you're on, Spotify, Apple, Google, like the podcast or subscribe to it or something like that, whatever the platforms, you know, what you can do on that. Some, I don't know, it might be, subscribe, that sort of thing. If you interact with the podcast on the platform that you're on, it really does do us wonders. And it means that our podcast will get sort of pushed to higher places and things like that. So if you could just take a moment to do that, that would be really, really helpful. And thank you, as always, if you're a regular listener, for tuning in. If you're a new listener, welcome. And I do implore you to, first of all, join in our community, which is discord.gg/BSCNewsNFT. Our Twitter account, our main one, is at BSCNews. Our website, BSC.news. And our NFT account as well on Twitter is BSCNewsNFT. Anyway, now on with the podcast. As you may be aware, every Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. UTC, we have, on Tuesday, it's an NFT time, and on Thursday, it's a dive into DeFi. And we have some really interesting guests that join us. Obviously, we recently had SafePal, and their podcast, or their space, is uploaded here. This Thursday, today, we had Venus Protocol, who specialize in lending and borrowing. And it was a really, really interesting conversation. So this podcast is focusing on that. Essentially, I've just downloaded the space from Twitter and uploading it here. What I'm amazed about as well with Twitter Spaces, you know, they're one of the biggest technology companies out there. And still, we can't access Twitter Spaces, or we can't be a speaker in Twitter Spaces from a computer. And the audio quality is awful. And I think as well, the audio quality is better for speakers if you're speaking from an iOS device. Because everyone who uses an Android device, which is one of them's me, you'll be able to hear that the audio quality isn't as good. And I don't think it's to do with the microphone, but I'm not really sure what it's to do with. And obviously Twitter Blue as well, with a little check mark, the new sort of $9 subscription or $8 subscription. At the moment, that's only available for iOS devices. I'm not sure if that's, if they have, yeah, because I know they put that on pause, or Elon put that on pause. So that was only originally for iOS devices. So I don't know why sort of iOS is getting special treatment on Twitter. But ideally, you know, having Twitter Spaces available from a computer where we can sort of have microphones and have a high quality recording of it would be ideal. Because I know these recordings that I put up here aren't, you know, the best of quality, but I do think you do need to listen to some of the guests that we've had on, because their knowledge and what they speak about is very, very interesting indeed. Towards the sort of middle or end of the Twitter space, the recording that you're about to hear, there are some really interesting ways about how to use lending protocols, especially Venus. There are relatively risk-free ways to earn money there, or earn yields or interest on your tokens deposited there. Obviously, there are risks in everything, including traditional finance and obviously crypto as well. So only invest what you can afford to lose, as always. And none of this is financial advice at all. One of the things that we talk about later on in the space that I was really interested in is, I think what my colleague or one of the co-founders of BSC News called it was interest rate arbitrage or something like that. Yeah, very similar to that. You'll know sort of when you hear it, when it's coming up. So you can borrow an asset from a lending protocol at a certain interest rate, and then you can stake it in a platform that has a higher rate of interest. And we are talking specifically about Cake. So you can borrow Cake from Venus Protocol at around 20%, which is very high, because I think they're explaining that a launchpad event is going on at the moment. The same with BNB recently as well. And then you can stake Cake for up to 50% in PancakeSwap. So obviously you're borrowing it, paying 20%, but at the same time, you're staking it for 50% interest as well. Obviously, if the token price changes as well, you'll have to manage your collateral there. And, you know, that is a bit of a risk when it comes to lending and borrowing protocols. However, it is all explained in the podcast coming up. Anyway, without further ado, here it is. Thank you very much. The Twitter Spaces with BSC News and Venus Protocol.
Fantastic. Well, firstly, thank you very, very much for being here. Thank you very much for your time. It is, very exciting to have you here. Would you be able to start off just by introducing yourself and a little bit about Venus Protocol?
Sure. Thank you for that. Venus Protocol is a borrow lend protocol. Right now we're on the BNB chain. We are the leading borrow lend protocol in DeFi on the basis of transactions. So we're very busy. We have a large, very, very large community, very large number of followers, very large number of users. And that's basically what we do. We are a borrow lend protocol, and we are absolutely the leading one on BNB chain via TVL, and we are the most transacted out there in all of DeFi.
Wow, very, very impressive. Thank you very much for the overview. When you say borrow lend protocol, there might be some people here that are perhaps new to DeFi, or perhaps spend a lot of their time mostly on centralized platforms. Would you be able just to tell us in simple terms exactly what is a borrow lend protocol?
Sure. Here's what we do. We're an added layer of efficiency for people who want to either borrow cryptocurrencies or if they just want to lend it out. What I mean by that, if you look at the traditional TradFi and you look at CeFi, and let's say you want to get a loan for anything, whatever it is, it's laborious. There's a lot of efforts to step through. There's a lot of checks you have to go through. There's a lot of hands you have to hands you have to shake. There's a lot of intermediaries you have to deal with. It's time consuming. It can be frustrating. With DeFi and with Venus Protocol, if you want to get a loan for cryptocurrency, you can go in, put down some collateral, and pretty much instantly get your loan. So we basically speeded up the process tremendously and eased the pain. We removed a lot of pain points as far as what it takes to actually get a loan and get in there. On the flip side of that, we have suppliers, which are basically the lenders. Suppliers, you have excess. Let's say you just have excess crypto sitting around. You're a holder of BNB. You're a holder of Cake, and you want to pick up some extra yield on that. You deposit it within our platform, and there you go. Now you're going to get paid a nice little juicy yield on that. I think Cake was yielding 8.5-9% today, something like that. So you get a nice little yield just for sitting on your what are essentially idle coins. You know, I think a lot of us are long-term holders of our cryptocurrency. We don't really think of ever selling it. We don't really think of doing anything with it. So instead of having to just sit there idly, you can put it into the Venus Protocol, and you can earn a yield on that. And that's kind of what we do. And that's a differential. So we kind of bring together borrowers and lenders, and allow the spread to be driven algorithmically instead of someone coming in there and actually saying, hey, I'm going to do a credit background check on you, and I'm going to go through all these steps, and I'm going to go through all these different interviews to say that you can have this loan. Instead, if you have collateral put up, that's all fine with us. You put it up there and you can take out a loan and you're good to go.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Yeah. Easy to understand. And obviously, if listeners, you do have any questions, we'll be probably accepting questions if we have time at the end. Venus Protocol, on sort of jumping straight into, arguably the heavy stuff. Recently, there was an exploit or a hack with Anchor. Were you affected by this at all? I know that there, quite a few, it caused a knock-on effect to quite a few sort of other yield protocols maybe, but as a lending protocol, were you affected by this at all?
There was no harm or no infringement or anything done with Venus at all, so we basically are hands off. No, there was no impact to Venus Protocol with that whatsoever. And that's our friends at Anchor. We love those guys over there. And that was a unfortunate event, but no, it did not impact the business flows at Venus in a way whatsoever.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Good to hear. And also, this is a bit of a heavy question again, maybe. But with FTX, often when people ask about the terms and conditions to SBF about customer funds not being allowed to be used for trading and FTX's own investing and things, SBF often says, that it was to do with the lending and borrowing of sort of peer-to-peer, or customers using peer-to-peer type lending and borrowing systems within their protocol or within their centralized system. But firstly, I mean, do you have any thoughts on this? And, you know, is he telling the truth? I know that's a bit of a niche question, but sort of leading on from that, are there risks with lending and borrowing protocols in terms of platform longevity and sustainability?
Yeah, I mean, there's checks that have to be made, but, you know, with what happened over on with the incident from a few weeks ago, there was more human interaction than we really have on our side of it. We're algorithmically driven. We're not really doing much. We don't really have any human interaction with our loaning process. So that kind of removes the possibility of anyone kind of manipulating and doing anything along those lines. And on top of that, we employ some heavy duty risk management protocols that come in from Gauntlet that actually kind of manage us and watch us over as far as what type of distribution we're allowed to have, as far as what type of LTVs we carry and things like that. And it allows a more significant control as far as taking some risk out of the system, as far as whether a certain asset might be at risk because it's overlended or oversupplied, or basically overdemanded, oversupplied. So we do have risk in there, and we actually go to outside vendors. We use Gauntlet to actually kind of manage that for us to a great extent.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Ben, I see you've got your hand up. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Tom, you kind of drove us into an area that I was interested in talking about as well, which is, you know, on CeFi lending, especially with most of the earn systems of how they work, you know, they're just collecting funds and making what they think are hopefully safe loans to third parties. Obviously, with DeFi protocols like Venus, all the users have their collateral in the system. You know, so if I'm a Bitcoin lender and someone else is using USDC as collateral and they're borrowing Bitcoin from me as a Bitcoin lender, then I could feel pretty confident that the system will liquidate them and repay my loan, essentially, if they get in trouble. And I kind of want us to dig into that area a little bit more, you know, how that liquidation process works. Is it, you know, something I've been curious about, and I think it'll be good just to kind of summarize quickly, is if I'm the lender, if I'm the borrower and I'm getting in trouble, how does that liquidation process work? Is it incremental? Is it going to start chipping away at my collateral as I get in trouble in my position, you know, in order for me to close it? Is it kind of a one and done? How does that Venus liquidation process work?
Yeah, it'll start chipping away at it. And I actually want to try and bring in my buddy Danny to try and to help you with some of this as well.
Hey, good morning, everyone. So the way it works, Ben, on Venus, if you get into trouble, the liquidators can basically liquidate up to 50% of your collateral value to bring you back into a positive balance. So there can be multiple liquidation events, but it's going to be always it's up to 50% of your collateral available on Venus.
Okay, so up to 50%. And then, of course, if it just continues to get in trouble, then it'll just, and then, that process will just keep going.
Yeah, it'll keep going. You're going to be liquidated multiple times until your account is back into good standing.
Okay, great. I was just, because I'm actually a Venus user, and I use a little bit of collateral, and I backstop it quite a bit, so I don't hopefully foresee any liquidations in my future.
But that's, you know, I keep a very low loan to borrow ratio there. But that's a good thing for people to understand. And Tom, I'll pass it back to you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And the term liquidation as well, you know, can be a little bit perhaps frightening. And it's, yeah, you used fairly often, I think, perhaps in margin trading and futures and things. But to people perhaps, again, new to crypto, it might be a little bit alien. Would you be able just to explain to us, you know, what liquidation means and sort of how it can happen in simple terms? So if a person's thinking about using the platform and they're not really sure, you know, well, what does liquidation mean? Would you be able to quickly explain this, just so people sort of are fully aware, what it means and perhaps the risks as well?
Yes, definitely. It's actually quite simple. So let's say you have deposited USDT or BUSD on Venus and you borrow Bitcoin. Depending on how much you borrow, your credit limit is always going to be it's going to be impacted by the current market value of any asset that you borrow. So for an example, if you borrowed $8,000 of Bitcoin against your $10,000 in collateral, you're at a maximum limit. And if Bitcoin would go up, then your collateral wouldn't be sufficient to cover your loan. So you would be liquidated for up to 50% of that position. So to put it simple, if you keep your credit limit below the liquidation threshold, which is 100%, you're never going to be liquidated. And what is a liquidation? It is a liquidator that is going to seize your collateral and sell it to repay your loan, or up to 50% of your loan per liquidation.
Fantastic. Thank you. Easy to understand. Brilliant. Personally, I don't use, I do use lending and borrowing protocols a little bit, but I know some people use them, to an extent, religiously, and they're really, really into them. They're perhaps one of the most, that's what they use most on DeFi protocols. However, do you know, or Ben, are you aware, because I know that perhaps you use them a bit as well, what people use the borrowed funds for? Are they perhaps, they're borrowing a speculative asset and then they're going to sort of repay it when the price goes up? Or do they perhaps borrow a stable token and invest that in something else? Are you aware of, you know, the main things that people use borrowing protocols for?
Yeah, Tom, I can share what I do, and what I will, of course, say before I say anything is, you know, don't just like jump in and do what I do for anyone listening. Always think about it for yourself. Do your own research, as they say. So my strategy, I never borrow cryptos like Bitcoin, BNB, whatever, because of, you know, you never know when some good news comes out and the price runs. And if you borrow something like Bitcoin against, let's say, a cash collateral, like a BUSD collateral, then, you know, that what you borrow could start going up in value real fast. So I don't borrow, you know, and then like your loan amount is increasing while your collateral is staying the same. So to me, that's like a risk I wouldn't want to take. That's basically like a way to short the market. I don't really believe in shorting the market, you know, because I'm a long-term investor. So what I do is, like, if I just want to hold Bitcoin long-term, which I do, I can lend that, you know, for a small yield in Venus. And then to kind of use that buzzword capital efficiency, I can borrow, you know, let's say 20% against my balance and then go do something else with that, whether it's yield farming stable coins to, if I can beat the rate that the loan is, or if I'm kind of bullish long term on the market and I'm willing to go underwater for a little while, I can provide it, you know, buy BNB with it and then supply that and earn interest, and I basically just get a new long position. So I use it to borrow cash against Bitcoin, primarily just Bitcoin.
because then your collateral doesn't move quite as fast as if, let's say, you borrowed against BNB or Ethereum, and you know, a little less volatility on the Bitcoin side. And then I might go yield farm with it, kind of a safer position, you know, just generate myself a little extra income essentially off of my Bitcoin collateral.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Obviously, a lot you can do with borrowed assets. But again, people listening, what we're saying isn't financial advice, and do use these protocols responsibly. Venus Protocol, I can see you've unmuted yourself. Would you like to add to the question or sort of what Ben said as well?
No, just grateful for Ben to make that use case where, you know, there's kind of a layering effect you can use when you go in and you borrow the coins, then you re-put them back in there and earn on top of that. So that was a good explanation for Ben. I appreciate that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and just to add to what I said too, you know, because I said I don't really believe in shorting it. Also, you take almost this like infinite risk when you short, because if you borrow Bitcoin, the price could go infinitely higher. And just so everyone's clear, if I borrow $1,000 of Bitcoin, then I sell it to something else, I don't owe Venus $1,000. I owe the amount of Bitcoin that I borrowed. So that's a very important like distinction to understand. So if I borrow 1,000 BUSD, I don't owe them $1,000. I owe them 1,000 BUSD to close my loan. So if I borrow one Bitcoin at $17,000 and I sell it for something else, and then Bitcoin goes to $30,000, I still owe Venus one Bitcoin. It's just now I owe them $30,000 to close my loan, if I even have enough collateral to cover that and didn't get liquidated in the process.
Exactly.
It's a very good point, Ben. Thanks for bringing that up.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'd also like to add, I know it's a little bit off topic, but shorting, especially in futures markets, your position size, if you short an asset, gets exponentially larger as, if you're shorting and the price goes up or the trade goes in the opposite direction of what you want it to be, your position size gets exponentially larger. So that margin call gets closer and closer, faster and faster. So shorting sort of scares me. However, if you long an asset and the trade goes in the opposite direction, I'm not sure if it gets sort of the position size gets larger linearly or... I'm not sure, but I'm going to have to actually research the other side to what I was saying. But shorting an asset, your position size gets exponentially larger. And it's quite scary if perhaps you've not put a stop loss in or you're trading basically with a huge amount of collateral in that position. So do be careful if you are shorting. It personally scares me.
Tom, I think what you were saying in the simple terms is if you short, and you know, so the asset has to go up in value again. That's if it goes up in value, it's going against you. And every 5% that it goes up after, you know, is a larger dollar change, right? So if it goes up 10% from 1,000, it's 1,010. If it goes up 10% from there, it's 1,021, right? It's that extra dollar. Meanwhile, if you go the other way, every 10% drop is a smaller dollar value. Is that the easy explanation?
Yes. Yeah, you've actually... Well, I've actually been searching for an easy way to explain this. So thank you very much.
Yep.
It's that compounding effect. And that I come from TradFi futures, spent a lot of time there. And that was one thing we always learned with in the future space and the options space that, you know, if you say you shorted a call on something, you have unlimited risk to the upside, but you know it can only go down to zero. So you always got your premium. But that's just the way it kind of works. There's a natural floor there all the time of zero, but it's not a floor you really want to run into. While there's always unlimited risk to the upside. So
yeah, like I'm an option seller. I'm not an option buyer for the reason you just explained.
Indeed. Yeah. I used to trade quite a bit of futures before. It was essentially banned in the UK from Binance. And I'm glad in some ways that it is, because not trading futures now and margin as well, it feels like so much stress off my shoulders. And now I do a little bit of spot here and there. But honestly, I didn't realize how stressful futures was. We'll scroll back a little bit back to Venus and DeFi and lending protocols and things. But yeah, I think it's, you know, important, and also, yeah, just very interesting as well. I'm always, I always try to stress to people that are trading marginal futures, or especially futures, if you do short a position, it's risky. But yeah, anyway, sort of on the subject of risk, Venus Protocol, or Ben, would you say that perhaps lending out your assets in a lending protocol is a relatively risk-free way to earn interest or yield on your assets?
Yeah, it makes it a lot of easier. You simply supply your asset, and there you go. So, Dan, you want to talk about that?
I was gonna say it's pretty safe if you only supply, and you know, you don't take any loan against your assets. There's no risk, so basically you just take and earn. Basically, it's quite simple.
Yeah, it's just added yield. I mean, what's gonna happen if you put the money out there and supply it? You know, it's you're quite safe. You're just gonna earn added yield on top of your on top of any price appreciation you get as well. So.
Yeah, and Tom, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, especially, you know, now that we're further down the road and, you know, say exploit risk is less and less at this point, it's honestly a safer savings vehicle than, I want to be careful how I say this, it's a theoretically safer savings vehicle to deposit your cash in Venus than it is in your bank. You know, aside from, let's say, you know, your FDIC insurance at your bank, but your bank's going to lend your money out to a lender, and they're going to just have a math equation on how many people aren't going to pay that money back. And they're just, you know, it is what it is. Meanwhile, at Venus, it's guaranteed to work in a way where your loan will be paid back to you, right? Because you're, by being a depositor, you are a lender. So, you know, at its core of how it works.
Yeah. Your lender and anybody borrowing their, you know, borrowing assets, let's say they borrow, you supply BNB and they borrow your BNB, they're all over collateralized. So there's no way you're not getting your money back, basically.
Exactly. That was kind of the point I was making, is it's a great place to just like make money on your assets. And I've always been a believer in, I like knowing how my yield is being generated. So like in DeFi, it's so clear and easy to understand how it's working at Venus, whereas a CeFi earn program, you have no idea who they're lending money to. You know, it could have been Alameda, right? You just had no idea.
Exactly.
Indeed. Yeah, and especially with fractional reserve banking as well, that sort of always makes me a little bit nervous that, you know, perhaps they don't actually have any money, and a bank run could literally happen at any time. And sort of leading on from that as well, and the interest rates that you get from banks at the moment, in the UK at the moment, I'm sure, as well as a lot of other places in the world, interest rates are disgustingly low. A lot of places where you can invest your money traditionally here, it's lower than inflation, which is, yeah, not great at all, because, you know, we're getting paid, and then all we can do is just see our fiat value go down, which is obviously disappointing to say the least. So the APY the supply and borrow APY on Venus Protocol, as well as perhaps other lending protocols, how is this calculated? So at the moment on the website, first of all, you've got a very impressive TVL. I think at the moment it's around 811 million in total. Do correct me if I'm wrong though. And your 30-day transaction volume, you've had 77,000 transactions. That's number of transactions, not comparative monetary value. The volume you've had at 30 days as well, 7.79 billion, which is eye-watering, which is up 52% as well in the last 30 days. That perhaps probably could be, you know, attributed to there was a little dip in the market and now people are, you know, perhaps transacting more on DeFi protocols. But back to sort of my question, would you be able to tell us how the supply and borrow APY is calculated? Obviously, at the moment, Cake is quite an attractive supply APY, and you'd have to, the borrow APY is quite a lot there. So could you tell us, yeah, how the APYs are calculated on the platform?
It's quite simple, actually. So the APY is calculated based on available liquidity. So if there's a 100 million BUSD deposited and then borrowers come in, and the more that they borrow, the more the interest rate is going to go up. So the higher is going to go your supply APY as well. So it's all automated based on supply and demand.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And should people, how quickly can this change? Obviously, at the moment, the supply, well, if I supply Cake, I'll get a rough APY of around 10% returns, which is, you know, not bad at all. How quickly could that change? I mean, if a whale just, you know, took out a load of the supply or put in a load of supply, would that algorithmically on your website just suddenly change and the APY change pretty much instantly?
It is instant. So if you take as an example, when Binance are when they're having launch pads, you're gonna see BNB liquidity on Venus drying up because everyone is borrowing BNB from Venus to stake on Binance launch pad. So the APY can go up to 60% or 70%, I think, on the last launch pad. So it's automatically adjusted instantly.
Thank you. Yeah. And I've seen in the last few weeks as well, the borrowing of BNB, again, has been extortion. I'm not sure, though, if this was to do with the Anchor exploit a little while back.
No, because of the Binance launch pad. So I think I can't remember exactly which token they were launching. It was a launch pool, actually. So everyone just borrowed BNB. To participate in that Binance launch pool. And then, yeah, the APY just went all the way up, skyrocketed, because there was basically no liquidity on Venus left during the launch pad. So this usually lasts for about a week.
Wow. And do you often see sort of correlations like this? You know, there might be, for instance, a Binance BNB staking launch pad or, you know, some other event. And then, you know, your APYs on a certain token will rocket up for a certain amount of time. And then once that event has ceased, it'll go back down. Is that a common occurrence within lending protocols and also Venus?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It will happen every time there's a big event going on or a particular currency that we support is having some, you know, some events, some launch pads, or so. Yeah, everyone is going to borrow that particular asset.
Very interesting. And to people that are interested in the listeners at the moment, they might think, oh, you know, what's this about? You know, could I perhaps, you know, do the same? Could I borrow some BNB from Venus, stake it on a Binance launch pad, and then essentially get free tokens? Would you be able to explain to us, or Ben as well, you know, perhaps how a user could use your platform to their advantage, to perhaps participate in a Binance Launchpad type event with relatively little risk, but ultimately, yeah, good reward?
Yeah, that's most users, they will come in and stake a lot of stable coins liquidity to borrow against. And then they will borrow, yeah, for example, BNB to participate in those launch pads. Even if the APY sometimes will go up to 50 or 60%, they usually borrow for a very short period of time. So they don't really mind spending $10 in interest if they're going to be airdropped, I don't know, $5,000 in tokens, right, on the Binance launch pad. So yeah, it's actually quite profitable.
Yeah. Wanda, so something that I think would be the DeFi version of the Binance Launchpad example, and this actually would explain the cake APY. So, you know, again, I'm a Bitcoin lender. If I and nobody do this, I'm just going to talk about something you could do. You could borrow cake, and you could stake it in the cake pools to earn. Let's see. Let me just see if they have.
I think cake is at around 19% or 29%. I'm not sure. Let me check also.
Yeah, so I think to borrow it, you're paying 20%. But if I'm looking for, do they still have syrup pools on cake? Yes, stake cake, and you can earn these other tokens like MGP, like Magpie, and a couple others. So if you just wanted to borrow cake and stake it on PancakeSwap to participate in these syrup pools and earn all these other tokens. And obviously, you know, 20% APY is high over a long period of time, but over a short period of time, it's not a big deal. So if there were, you know, so you're going to owe a little bit more cake back than what you borrowed because of that, but you can go earn tokens for free with what you, well, earn tokens for the cost of the interest on the borrowing of cake.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Just, you know, maybe you hope one of them is a big winner, and then you got it basically at almost no cost, just the cost of interest.
Definitely. And you know, some users also leverage Venus. You can also stake obviously cake on PancakeSwap, and I think it's up to close to 60% per year APY if you lock for a certain amount of weeks. So basically you borrow on Venus at 20% and then you earn close to 60% on cake.
That is correct. Yes, at the moment, the locked APY, the APR of the auto cake, I'm not sure if it's called auto cake anymore, but yes, stake cake, stake and earn more cake. It's up to 59%. The flexible APY at the moment of cake on PancakeSwap is 2.75. So do correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're saying is essentially people can borrow cake at the interest rate that's on Venus. I'm just going to double check, which is, well, it's around 10% at the moment. They can stake it then on PancakeSwap up to 60% and sort of earn yields and interest there. And when they're ready, pay back their cake on Venus, where they've only been paying 10% interest, but they've earned sort of up to 60%.
21%, actually, 21.5% the borrow APY right now. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you paid 9% to supply, or almost 10% to supply cake right now, but the borrow rate is like 22% almost.
Yeah, Tom, so...
But you make a profit, so you're going to borrow for X amount of time, you're going to stake on PancakeSwap and earn 60%, and at the end, you repay your loan on Venus with the interest accumulated and whatever difference that you have in your wallet, they're yours. So it's profit.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, to get that. So basically, if you're trying to do like an interest rate arbitrage play here, to get that high rate, you've got to lock your cake up, though. So if the cake price started to skyrocket, you'd have to have another way ready to cover your loan other than what's locked up. So like, I think my personal play, being risk averse, would be earning the tokens they give you for free and hoping one of them's a moonshot rather than locking up my loan and potentially finding myself
stuck for a year. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, yeah. So that sort of leads us on to the risk. A bit with interest arbitrage. I can't remember the exact term you used there, Ben, but would you be able just to explain to us a tiny bit about, I know that we've just been talking about it, but in simple terms again, I can't, interest arbitrage or yield arbitrage, did you say?
Yeah, that's just if you're able to essentially borrow at a lower rate and earn at a higher rate. Which the cake example is a perfect example of that. You could borrow at 20% and earn 59%. The risk there, though, is that to get the 59%, you've got to go, looks like 52 weeks. So that's not, you know, so basically to earn a 40% spread on your asset, you'd have to lock it up for 52 weeks, which isn't something I would do. That's a lot of risk against the loan collateral, you know, loan and collateral on Venus. But you could do something like, if you go to the farms, this might be an easier way to do it. Well, still about 20%. Like, if you were to borrow Cake and supply it to Cake B&B,
you need to make sure you have plenty of collateral.
What's that?
Just to, you know, to eliminate risk, you need to make sure that you have plenty of collateral and that you do not borrow, you know, over your limit. And you need to keep monitoring your limit always. So it's kind of stressful.
Correct. Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart, and you got to be careful, very careful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you. And this is, you know, sort of specific to Venus. Would you be able to tell us what makes Venus Protocol unique? Obviously, there are a number of other lending protocols on the market. Would you be able to tell us what makes Venus Protocol unique, and perhaps why you've seen so much success? And also, what is XVS?
Patrick, do you want to take that one?
I'll let you take it, Danny. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. I would say, first of all, you know, security on Venus is our most important point. There's never been a hack on Venus. Hopefully there never will be. And, you know, we're taking all of the steps to make sure it doesn't happen. So it does take a little time for Venus to launch or ship new products. But we're not only doing one audit. We're doing multiple audits for anything that we release. So definitely stability, security, and of course, you know, we're on BNB chain, which is lightning fast and very cheap. So, and there's plenty of liquidity available on Venus always. So that's kind of how we became, you know, number one on BNB chain.
Fantastic.
And there's things you got to look at too. We've been around for 2 years, which doesn't seem like a long time, but in this space, it actually is. And that puts a little forbearance into our stability and the fact that we've had some strong people here and we've got a strong protocol.
Yeah, and XVS, just to answer your second question. So XVS is our governance token on Venus. It is the token that also gives you a revenue share for every protocol income or revenues that we have. So if you own XVS, you can actually take part in governance and you actually receive a part of the protocol revenues in form of APR in our XVS vault, which is right now at about 14.5% APR.
Fantastic. Thank you. And obviously, you've got the Venus Reward Token as well, VRT. Would you be able just to briefly tell us about that and its utility on your platform?
There's actually no utility about VRT, so it's been phased out. It's been swapped for XVS, and our VRT swap has been launched about eight months ago. So there's only about 3.5 or 4 months left for users to be able to swap their VRTs for XVS, and there's going to be another 12 months investing additional to it. So we're phasing out VRT, and we're going to keep a single token economy model.
Great. Yeah. One question as well with that. I saw that it's essentially described reward token and that sort of makes me think of a lot of play to earn games as well, where they have reward tokens, and the only thing that people can really do with so-called reward tokens is sell them for a stable token and just use them as a reward token and just get profits from them, really. What's the reasoning behind phasing this token out? Is it because essentially as a reward token
It was never really used in the first place. So it's a token that was initially launched by Swipe, when they launched Venus a couple of years ago, so before Venus became totally independent. And, you know, we're now a standalone platform, so we're not associated with Swipe anymore. But this token, so this VRT token was going to have some use case, I think, with NFTs and some other use cases that were initially planned, but this has all been canceled. Since we became independent from Swipe, we've had new tokenomics and new model. And yeah, the community voted for Trust to go towards a single token economy. That's why we're having new tokenomics being launched as well right now.
Brilliant. Thank you very, very much again, for the overview. And sort of just to, I think, you know, we're perhaps approaching towards the end of the discussion. Would you be able just to, you know, maybe highlight a few points about how users can use lending and borrowing protocols like Venus, or how people can use Venus? I'll kick it off and just say, firstly, again, this isn't financial advice, obviously. First of all, an easy way perhaps to earn safe yields is just by putting your assets up for people to borrow, essentially putting them in a vault, and people will borrow them, and you'll get a safe APY, relatively low, perhaps what you could earn by doing other things. But it's easy. You just sit back, relax, and put them in a vault. But what are some other ways, perhaps, that people, just, you know, quickly and wrapping things up, that people can use lending protocols like Venus for? Ben, I know that you're a lending and borrowing guru, I like to think. But if anyone else has got any quick tips, you know, you can, that would be fantastic. So putting your assets up for borrowing, an easy way just to earn a low APY, but safe APY.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very easy. And, you know, one of the big use cases, I would say, for us or for our users is right now in the bear market. Instead, any of the assets that we support, some people, you know, they get scared, the markets are down, or they need money. Why sell your assets? Just deposit your assets on Venus, take a small loan for whatever amount of money that you need, if you know that you can refund it at a later date, instead of selling your assets with a loss. So you can safely deposit your asset. You're going to earn a small APY on them, and you can borrow also any money that you might need instead of selling your assets with a loss. So it's one of the major use cases I think we're having right now in the bear market.
Fantastic, thank you. And just to go over a few of points that we've covered as well to listeners, what you can do, you can borrow an asset that has a relatively low borrowing APY, and then stake it in a platform that has a higher interest and earn and earn tokens like that. But then
there are so many ways to leverage Venus. There's infinite uses.
Indeed. Yeah. Ben, I see you've got your hand up. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, just thinking of a another real simple strategy here, and I'm just gonna pull up Venus real quick to make sure my numbers are right, which would be to borrow BNB, which is the current borrow rate of, and if either of you guys have it up faster than me, let me know.
0.35% right now.
0.35% to borrow?
Yeah, 0.35, yeah, so not 0.35%.
Yeah, and then you could do something like put that into a liquid staking type of setup, like Stater BNB, for example, and that might make you up to 20%. So again, going back to that yield arbitrage, you know, accumulating BNB at 20% while you're borrowing it for 0.35%, and then keeping the asset the same in case you need to pay it back in a hurry, which I think would be a good idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. Brilliant. And there could be some questions as well from people listening in the audience. Often what happens, unfortunately, in Twitter, there looks like some botty people might have requested to speak. And they've been requesting to speak for Yeah, a long time. However, if you've got a question for Venus about perhaps lending protocols in general as well, do please click request to speak and we'd be more than happy to take your question. However, as I think, yeah, we're sort of approaching the end, is there anything else that you'd like to bring up or talk about that we haven't talked about at all so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'd throw out, you know, we're in the middle of rolling out our V4 upgrade right now. A lot of big new tools in there that's going to give people some great new functionality. You know, we're going to have some stable rates coming out. We're going to have the DEX integration, obviously. We're going to have a lot of cool new tools to really help people get in there and use the protocol. So we're super excited about that and want to check it out.
Fantastic. Good. And another quick question as well that just popped into my mind is, well, in the last, say, 4 weeks or so, there's been a lot of talk of, you know, get your tokens off exchanges. And people have been looking a lot more into DeFi protocols. Have you seen more interest in Venus, perhaps since people are wanting or saying they're going to use centralized exchanges less?
How we did see a lot of interest, not only from users, but also from multiple exchanges that are interested to launch new DeFi staking products leveraging Venus.
Amazing. There we go.
I think if you roll back like 3 weeks ago, we had a big jump in new users too. I think we logged like 1,300 new users in the protocol in a single week, which is a nice number. We're proud of that. I think a lot of that had to do with the fallout from the CeFi type of fears that are emanating throughout the markets.
Most definitely. Yeah. And I think I mentioned earlier as well, your volume over the past 30 days is up 50% to 7.79 billion, which is really, really impressive. Your transactions as well over the past 30 days is up 60% to 77,500 transactions. So congratulations on yeah, your success. Yeah, huge TVL as well. That's sort of all the questions and sort of discussion points that I had for you. However, one last time, is there anything else, Ben, as well, you're more than welcome, that you'd just like to raise at all before we say goodbye?
I would say to everyone that did not see yet our V4 announcement to have a look on Twitter at Venus, because we're definitely launching one of the biggest upgrades to Venus since Venus is, you know, live on mainnet. So we're going to be adding a lot of markets. We're adding a new isolated market section. We're adding stable rate borrowing. We've integrated already our DEX with PancakeSwap, but that's only the first part. So there's going to be another function coming out soon, which is going to be the one-click swap and repay as well. So you're going to save, you know, time and fees and gas. We've also integrated, you know, we've hired Gauntlet for risk management, and we have new strategies in place, which allows us to update, actually, collateral factors and, you know, security, basically, a lot faster than before. We're also, what else? We're also launching our Vi stability fee in the upcoming week. So it's been an audit. It came back with a couple of minor findings. So our team is working on this. So, well, very soon. And yeah, our new tokenomics, our southbound token, which is going to give everyone boosted yields on our money markets, and so much more to come. So I would invite everyone to follow our Twitter closely for announcements, big announcements.
Fantastic. Thank you very, very much. And to listeners as well, the website to access Venus is literally just venus.io. However, it might be best if you go through their profile on Twitter, just to avoid any bad links. And you just click that little icon there and you'll be able to navigate to all their links through there. However, Venus Protocol, Danny, well, yeah, Venus Protocol in general, thank you very, very much for your time. It's, yeah, been very, very interesting. And I hope some listeners as well, I'm sure they have sort of learned quite a bit more about how they can utilize lending and borrowing protocols to their advantage. Obviously, listeners, you know, they're are risks with everything in crypto. So do invest responsibly, only invest what you can perhaps afford to lose. Listeners, thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. It's great to see so many familiar faces and also new faces as well. And as I said at the start, this Spaces will be uploaded to our podcasts, which can be found on any popular streaming platform. If you just type in Podfi, P-O-D-F-I, or BSC News. Thank you very much as well, Ben, for your time. And yeah, your insight, questions and things like that. But mostly, Venus, thank you once again. And hopefully, yeah, we'll speak very, very soon. And I wish you all this, well, continuing success for the future.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here. And definitely we'll be talking again soon, hopefully.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us on. We appreciate the time. We appreciate appearing you guys always. So anytime you want to reach out. And we're happy to talk to anybody.
Fantastic. We definitely will. Yeah, hope to do this again. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I was just going to add sure, to the Venus guys, once V4 is out there, let's get back together on here.
Oh, absolutely. We've started already. So we've released the first part, which was the DEX, the swap integration. But definitely in the upcoming weeks, there's going to be a lot more coming out.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Well, yeah. Well, I look forward to another space relatively soon. Thank you very much. Very, very much. And speak again soon. Thank you very much, everyone. Bye-bye.